Somebody help Miss Gladys come up here. I'm going to pray for her. Thank you, Jesus. If you'll all just raise your hands here toward Gladys. She's going to get a healing tonight. She said if hands were laid on her, she would be healed. You ready? Father, the whole thing. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, by faith, thank you for healing Gladys. Everything from her ears to her heart, all the way through everything in her body. In Jesus' name, her youth is renewed like the eagles. We thank you for a quickening even now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you agree, say amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glory to God. All right, girl, you're healed. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Praise God. How about if everybody moves up into the two sections right here? Please. Thank you, Lord. Just so I can get to be near you. Come on, move on up. The driver on the bus says, move on up. Thank you. I won't bite, I promise. Praise the Lord. You don't have to go here, but I'm going to read this, okay? Thank you, Lord. This is Genesis 26:12, okay? Praise the Lord. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and he received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. So the man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Amen. So we're following the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whichever you prefer to call him. We're following him down a path that he chose for us. He gave us two prophetic words recently, and we're choosing to pray into those things, and we're accepting the commission to be blessed to be a blessing. And so we have to be blessed if we're going to bless other people. And so he asked us to bring his face to people. So we know that face would mean bless, the Lord make his face shine upon you. And it would also mean the presence of God. And so it's our job to bring the anointing and our job to bring blessing and solve problems for everyone. And so we're going to a new level of influence. That's what we're doing. So he said that if we would take this path, that he would open his hand to us. And so we started down that path, and he called it a port. And so we know that that's a place where things come and go. And so we're fully expecting that. So this is a new season for us. And when working with God, you have to understand something. He'll offer you. He will offer, but you have to accept. And then he'll give you direction, and then you take a step, and then so on and on. He's kind of a checker player. You move with him as he directs you. So in seeking the Lord about this, we've seen certain truths that help us receive. We're working on receiving because God is giving. He's trying to get things to us, and it's not him withholding. The Bible says if he gave you Jesus, that he'd give you all things. That's in Romans 8, if you need to look it up. With Jesus, he gave you all things. Now, the Greek word for things is things. Yeah. And so we need to understand that. So, we're gonna do what he wants us to do. And so we're aiming for certain harvest. And yes, it's 30, 60, 100 fold. We're doing that in finances, but also in fruit of all kinds. The anointing, the blessing, Margaret just got back from a vacation where most of it was just praying for people. So she was sowing seed. She was bearing fruit, doing what she needed to do. And so, this harvest that it's certainly finances, health, love, the love walk, character, ministry, all of these things. So now we ended up talking about the soul on Sunday. You know, some folks don't understand what getting emotionally healed and growing in character have to do with being blessed. But I tried to make it as simple for you as I could on Sunday. And here's the scripture for it. John 3:1-2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your what? Your soul prospers. What's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. See, your spirit man is your spirit man, and Holy Spirit is housed in there, but you are a triune person. Your body, soul, and spirit. Spirit's supposed to rule. Your mind, will, and emotions is not supposed to rule, but you're not supposed to live just by your five senses. So we understand that. So what happens is you don't prosper if your soul doesn't prosper. So the soul needs to be put in its place. And so then some work can be done. So people that harbor unforgiveness, for example, or they're just plain old living in their flesh and just having soulless reactions to everything, they block their receiver because their soul's sitting on top of their spirit. And so the spirit is where the 4D can get in and where the 4D can get out and draw in what then can be pulled in by faith and bring in manifestation. And so you have to have a clear pathway. You have to be tuned in. You have to have a clear pathway to make faith work like you want it to work. So your receiver is in your spirit. Your spirit has to be on top. Soulless stuff gets in the way. And then the 4D, we call it 4D, from Brother Bill, can't do its work. And so the manifestation can't get to you. So it's not God holding out. If you can get that, church, if you can finally get that God's not your problem, you're going to go way ahead. You understand that there are millions of Christians that think God is stopping and pulling and causing and all this, but God's not doing that. Yeah, there's a number of churches today you could go sit in right now and they would tell you God did that because you were bad. God gave you Jesus because you were bad. It's paid for. It's paid for. You're free. But what we do is then from there, we work on what we need to work on in order to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. And so there's grace for that as well. But it's not a matter of you've been bad and God won't do it. And it's not also a matter of God's doing that to teach you a lesson. This teaches you a lesson. This person is teaching you a lesson. The Holy Spirit is teaching you a lesson. But trouble and trials will not teach you anything if you don't depend on God. That's not the way He wants to teach you. He'll use it sometimes, but He didn't cause it. Amen. All right. So, man, it's so good to have y'all up this way. Praise the Lord. So, one of the things I want to just look at tonight, we're going to touch on it. I'm going to do my best to let you out at 7:55, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you why. Because once in a blue moon, the moon is going to rise at 8:06, and I want you to see it. So we're going to do it. Okay, so one of the things that we need to look at, I want to look at tonight is our conscience. Okay, let's look at conscience. So Acts 24:16 says this, and here, this is the Apostle Paul talking, herein do I exercise myself to always, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God. Now, isn't that what we just talked about? People get mad and blame God for stuff when it isn't God, right? Okay, so he's void of a conscience that is offensive at God or toward men. So here's the definition. Conscience is that process of thought that distinguishes what it considers morally good or bad, commending the good, condemning the bad, and so prompting to do the former and avoid the latter. So basically, your conscience should be able to, if it's in the right place, it's able to detect, this is good, I should do this. This is not good, I shall not do this. Okay? Now, the Webster says, a faculty, power, or principle enjoining good acts or faculty of conviction. So you get that conviction, right? And then the Dakes, Mr. Dake, who wrote a Bible, he says, sensitive regard for fairness or justice. So you're sensitive to that. You're like, eh, that's not right. Okay. So here's what I would say. Your conscience guides your free will. It'll guide your free will. So in Acts 23:1, I'm just going to name these off to you, and if you'd like to study them and look them up, you can. In Acts 23:1, we see that there are people with a good conscience. In 1 Corinthians 8:7, we see there are people with a weak conscience. In 1 Timothy 4:1-2, we see that there are people with a seared conscience. And you can go back and read those. So 1 Corinthians 8:7, 1 Timothy 4:1-2, and Hebrews 10:2. So Paul had a good conscience. He did good. Some Corinthians had weak consciences, right? Yeah, pretty promiscuous people. Their conscience, they didn't get it, okay? And then there were people who had a seared conscience. And then guess what? There are people who had a sin consciousness or a sin conscience. That's all they thought about is how bad they were.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. So, people with the weak conscience, they just lack knowledge. They just lack knowledge, that's all. People with a seared conscience are the ones who've departed from the faith and they're heeding to wrong doctrines. Well, we've had a friend of mine recently told me that one of their dear friends who's believed and walked in everything that we believe in all of a sudden turned around, got into religion, and now all of us are a cult and we're all going to hell. That's a seared conscience, right? Okay. It's no one personal that we know. It's someone out there that would say that our type people are doing it, not us personally. Anyway, and then people with a sin conscience, they refuse the sacrifice of Jesus and the gift of righteousness. They're just going to feel guilty all the time. Just feel guilty all the time. Now, Acts 20, what kind of consciousness are we looking for? Well, we want what Paul's talking about here. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. So how are we going to have such a conscience like that? How would that work? Well, there's the key word is right there. He says he exercises. He exercises. He practices this thing. That's us. Askeo, I think. Askeo in the Greek. And so he's gonna have enough discipline to practice doing this. I'm gonna watch myself. I'm gonna pay attention. And here it is. No doctrine contrary to the truth. No worship contrary to God. And no malice toward men. That's what you're practicing. That's what you're practicing. So it is absolutely the bait of Satan to get you offended. Absolutely get you in strife with other people. It is a trap. It's a death trap sometimes. So Jesus said in Luke 17, it's possible, but that offenses would come. He said, woe to the offender. Now, in other words, he's going to work on the offender. You don't have to. But there's a lot to be said, actually, about the one who's offended. And so I have two words for you. Don't be. Just don't be, because it's only going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your harvest and everything else in your life. So you just have to get past that. Remember, victors are looking for answers. Victims look for excuses. And here's a common excuse. Now, listen to this because it's going to help you a lot. The common excuse is self-preservation. That's that wall stuff we talked about. Okay. Well, we talked about on Sunday, that wall stuff. Okay. So it keeps you from looking at your own character flaw because the blame is deferred to another person all the time. They made me mad. They did that. It's pastor's fault that happened in the church. That kind of stuff. Oh, y'all think that's silly? Oh no, that happens.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I just took a big blame for something recently. It's your fault that all that happened. I didn't even have anything to do with it except that I gave my advice that nobody took. But I'm telling you, people just wherever they can put the blame and not look at themselves, it's only destroying them.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, so, and I forgive, praise the Lord, because I'm not going to do this. So, You never have to face your role or your immaturity or your sin because you see only the faults of the offender. It's just the other person. It's always the other people. I can't believe that teacher did that to my kids. I can't believe, you know, it's always them. It's always the other ones. That's what this society is messed up with today, church. That's what's wrong with people today. Everybody's entitled and it's someone else's fault. Well, I can't believe HEB put all those candies out there. If they hadn't done that, my child wouldn't have stole that. Now, so we're laughing, but that is about as ridiculous as some of the stuff is right there. Amen. Okay, so, you know why people church hop? You want me to tell you why? Okay, when someone comes to a new church and they want to have dinner with the pastor, that a lot of people do that because, for one thing, people want to, they'll want to come and interrogate me, and they're interviewing me. Which would be better if they just came to the meetings and they could tell who we all are, you know. But they want to find out what I'm all about. But they'll come and they'll start talking about their problems with the leadership of the last church. Okay? Now, a wise pastor, now this didn't happen all the time, but sometimes it's good to tell them that in order to deal with their hurt, they need to go back to that other church. And they need to leave there when they have peace. Amen, girl, preach it. So you get released that way. You should never leave. You should go. So, but when we retain an offense in our hearts, we filter everything through that. Now, I understand some people, they were early in their growth and they left the church and they didn't get that. But after a while, if you've been around places like this, you get it. You're not going to make that mistake again. Most people are not. If you're making any growth effort, then you begin to understand that. So, here's an old parable. Let me read it to you and you'll totally get the picture. Back in the days when settlers were moving to the West, a wise man stood on a hill outside a new Western town. As the settlers came from east, the wise man was the first person they met before coming into the town. They eagerly asked what the people of the town were like. He answered them with a question. What was it like where you come from? That's his talking, not mine, okay? The town we came from was wicked. The people were rude and gossiped. They took advantage of innocent people. It was filled with thieves and liars. The wise man said, this town's the same way. They thanked him and moved on to the next town. Then another group would come. What's the town like? Then another group would come. What's the town like? What was it like where you came from? It was wonderful. We had dear friends. Everyone looked out for each other's interests. There was never any lack because we all cared for each other. If someone had a big project, the entire community gathered to help. It was a hard decision to leave, but we felt compelled to make a way for future generations by going west as pioneers. The wise old man said to them exactly what he said to the others. This is the same as the one you left. And they responded with joy and settled in the town. See that? So how they viewed their past relations was the scope of their future ones. You've got to get healed and change your filters. Right. Amen. So the way you leave a church or relationship is how you're going to enter the next one. Amen. Until you grow. Now, and we've all done that. So Jesus said in John 20:23, if you forgive the sin of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sin, they are retained. Isn't that interesting? Now, Jesus paid for this, my sin. So if you're mad at me and not forgiving me, who's paying for that? Retain. You are. Amen. Because this would be when you fall into New Testament, it can't be held against me if I've repented. Now, so, here's what we're going to do then. We will love. We're called to love. Love forgets the wrongs. so that there's hope for the future. When we overcome offenses, we seek peace and watch for an opportunity for restoration. Church, I feel like I want to say this right here to make sure you understand something. When I started out in all this, we did everything wrong. We blew it all. We left the church and people followed us. I mean, we didn't quit the church wrong because we were given an ultimatum. But we did all those things wrong. It took me going and learning and sitting under people that I became accountable to. You have to have some accountability. We didn't have any. By the time we got to you guys, we did. Because we had sat under some people who taught us some things. But at first, we didn't know. We are offended at this and blew that. We didn't want to do this and you know. And we all would get together and talk about it, and which are things you never should do. You never should poison other people. Everybody would talk about how they've discussed it and this or that and move on. But thank God we've grown out of that kind of stuff. Amen. So I just want you to know, so if you're sitting there feeling bad because you quit something and moved on, we've all done it. But now we've all moved on and we're doing what's right. Okay? So, there's an old proverb that says, once a dog has been scalded with hot water, he's even afraid of cold water. And how many people today, they just won't even take any refreshing cold water because they've been burned once. And so they keep that filter and they won't let anything come through. They won't put that wall down and trust anyone. But here's the thing, church. Jesus desires to heal our wounds. He can actually heal them. I have close friends who were abused when they were little children that don't even have a memory of that. And I have other friends who are still leaning into all that for years. They're wasting away their lives still dealing with that abuse when Jesus could have just healed it. They could have just received their healing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, is this okay with you guys? Y'all like it? So, he wants to heal us. Here's the thing. It's not the easiest road to take to get healed. Because, interesting enough, it's a path of humility. Because you have to admit something's wrong. You have to admit that you're not all that in a bag of chips. And then self-denial is involved in this. But that actually leads to healing and spiritual maturity. You got to be willing to admit, man, we did that wrong. Man, that just wasn't working. Amen. And you got to admit, man, I need Jesus to have a look at me. When we started this, we didn't understand being accountable to authority or anything. We didn't know anything about that kind of thing. We just went out as Lone Rangers because we heard somebody who preached good and we wanted to go out and do it. But nothing good happened until we understood that we needed to be protected by authority. You know, we weren't so prideful that we jumped out there and went, I'm starting my ministry. You know, we weren't like that because we were kind of like, you know, we were just, okay. We were kind of the other way about it. But I didn't really have, now I was in the ministry, I was a children's pastor and stuff like that, and we qualified when we all worked together in Austin at a church. But the real ministry broke out for me when I met Pastor John. Because he became my leader. He became my Paul, and I became his Timothy. And so when I began to understand that role, it changed my life. I hope you get that, because it'll change your life if you'll begin to understand that. I don't have time to go down that path. But it does help to get you where you're going if you start understanding where you belong in things. Now, when you're getting healed and you're looking for this well-being, pride won't travel that path with you. Pride won't say, I need help. Pride won't say, I'm hurting. It won't. It's like, nope, I'm just not going, nope, I'm not talking. It won't ask you for anything. It's tough on your flesh, but if you go ahead and begin to let the Lord heal you, it's going to lead to life. And so we must engage the force of love. We need to let love in because love never fails and love will take care of these things. And this takes a certain amount of humility. Listen, David and Saul. David could have in that cave, right? But he came out of there and he would not avenge himself. He said, why? Because Saul is anointed. Saul was still anointed and still in that place. He was not going to raise his hand to the king. I've been around a long time. You have too. How many times have you seen there'll be assistant pastors and people like that, and the people in the church, this hasn't happened in Victory, but people in church start saying, wonder when you're going to get to take over. Wonder when you, have you seen that? Yeah, you know, you're probably a better preacher than pastor. I wonder when you, and they'll start pushing people up and pushing. But a smart assistant pastor would never draw the sword, would never split the church. They go with the plan of the house, with the vision of the house, and then they're birthed into what they need to be birthed into. Amen. I don't know why I'm off on that trail, but praise the Lord. God must want us to talk about it. But then just in our lives, you don't need to avenge yourself. So everybody in here, everybody listening to me has had somebody talk bad about them. Every one of us. Some of us a lot. Right? But praise the Lord. But we don't need to avenge ourselves. God will take care of it. He'll take care of it. It is righteous for God to avenge his servants. It is unrighteous for God's servants to avenge themselves. The word says, brothers, do not avenge yourselves. Now, all of this that we're talking about has everything to do with overflow. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about overflow. We're talking about what Mark 4 was teaching us as well. It says that, remember where it says they have no root because they were offended. We don't have to go there, do we? Y'all know what Mark 4 is? Sower sows the word, wayside, rocky ground, thorny ground, good ground. Okay. And so they were offended because they had no root. That's what that scripture says there. Well, those without a root, we could say that they're without a foundation. Root and foundation indicate stabilizing and strength. Okay? So a person who's not stabilized or founded in the revealed word of God, they're a prime candidate to get moved by a storm. They're going to get, because they're not solid where they need to be, so they're going to start getting freaked out. They're going to start getting messed up. They're going to get, when if they were rooted and grounded in the word of God, they would be able to stand strong. Now, over in Matthew 16:13, you remember when Jesus said, who do they say I am? You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Peter said that. He said, I'm going to build my house on the rock. The rock of what? Not the rock of Peter. The rock of revelation. Peter got a revelation that he was the Messiah. So everything that's going to make us stabilized is revelation word. Why are you stable today about your prayers? Because you understand the authority of the believer. Why are you stable about your salvation? Because you understand you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not getting out, you're in. But you're stable in that because you've got that revelation and you hung on to it. Amen. And so you have to have revelation on these things. And so I just want to talk about this last thing here. Ephesians 3:16, this is Paul praying, and y'all know it very well. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith by you being rooted and grounded, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Oh, okay. So we're talking about rooted and grounded and knowing the love of the Messiah, right? Is that what it said? Okay. Now notice it said this. It said, may you comprehend, and that past knowledge. It's bigger than knowledge, right? So the word is different than understanding. It means working knowledge, working knowledge. So I just flew to the islands and I knew I was flying, but the pilot had working knowledge of me flying. He's flying the plane. So he gets it. I'm just sitting in the seat. I know I'm flying. That's knowledge. But he knows how to get there. So Paul's praying that we know how love works. We know how to love. The love of God, not just eros, but our phileo, but the love, how the love of God works, the agape love of God works. And so he's praying that we get that and that we have working knowledge of it. And so when you start getting in and you start getting working knowledge of love, you're going to start coming out of the soul junk. And when you come out of the soul junk, you're going to get your stuff. And you're going to get promoted. And you're going to get a flow and you're going to move forward. Amen. Okay, so we're to have a working knowledge of love. So how? How can you begin to have a working knowledge with love? Two things. Get revelation, knowledge of love, and get love-minded. Get love-minded. Remember Sister Billy and the chili story? And the crackers, Mata's saying it back there, the crackers and the cornbread. She served cornbread. What was his name?
Kent.
And then she's got it all ready, and Kent said, man, I wish I had some crackers. After she did the cornbread, and she's like, I made cornbread. Right? And so she had 3x5 cards up in the cabinet. She got to be, love is kind. She starts quoting all the scriptures about love. What's she doing? She's working on it. She's working knowledge. She grabs her purse, runs to the store, buys the man crackers with a good attitude, comes back. And by the way, coffee was on sale. I remember that about it. And she comes in there and serves him crackers, and she's happy and loves him. That's when someone could practically cuss you out and you love them after you talk to them. When you have working knowledge of love. Do y'all hear me?
Yes.
You'll be okay. You're like, oh, they're all right. You're just not going to have an enemy. You know, praise the Lord. Okay. So, I'm doing good. So, it's going to take desire to do this. You're going to have to want to. Paul said desire the best gifts. And what's the highest gift? Love. Isn't that what he said? So we must desire. Then you have to make a decision. So you have to desire and make a decision. You have to decide to seek love. And the revelation of it. What God is love. How far can you go with this if you'll get it? Church, we got to get past Sunday school about the love of God. Yeah. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, that's great. But do you have working knowledge of his love? Okay. So you get a desire, then you make a decision, and then there's dedication. You're going to have to decide, and you're going to have a desire, decide, and then dedicate that you're going to stay with it. Get love-minded.
Yeah, right.
Amen. We said last week that we do that by stirring up our mind by the way of remembrance. We remember things. We begin to remember. Just go back and remember. We think of something good. Amen. Study love. Study what the love of God is about. God is love. Love is God. Study that. Go over there and look in 1 John. We'll look in all of 1 John, actually. But particularly 4. Chapter 4. Because it will make you stop losing.
Oh, wow.
Because fear will bring on loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do people grieve when they know someone went to heaven? But some people will spend their entire lives, the rest of their lives, grieving over someone. It's not that you wouldn't miss them. It's not that you won't cry. But when it gets into that spirit of grief, it's just death. It's because of fear. It's a fear. I can't do anything without that person. But you can. Yes, you can. And you can wait and know and get it in your mind. You'll be back with them. You'll be back with them. Amen. Church, life is short. Life is short. This will be over before you know it. I'm totally convinced I'm going in the rapture. It can't be that we're in the Great Awakening. We're starting the Great Awakening. I am convinced that Jesus will come in my lifetime. Amen. Amen. I don't think it's that far away. Once we get everybody in, we're out of here. And then the man of sin will show up. The evil will start. The mark of the beast can finally get in. We're holding that back right now. Okay, now, so study love. There's no fear in love. So now we're looking at holding that good conscience. Come on, watch. Okay, so it's void of offense. It's void of offense. Church, you have to recognize if you're offended. You have to recognize, some people don't recognize that they're offended. I'm going to go ahead and step on somebody's toes right here. I'm hurt. No, you're offended. You can use the word hurt if you want to. And people do get hurt because hurt people hurt people. But the truth is you can get hurt and not be offended. You can tell if someone's offended because they shut you down. They'll avoid you. They'll walk around you. They won't. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah.
They won't treat you the same. There'll be something different about it. They started sitting in the front of the church, but by the time they're offended, they're sitting in the back. No offense, back people. I know y'all. I've been doing this a long time. I've watched it over and over. I've watched people be right on the front, and then they move back, 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 and then they go out the door. Why? All because they stay offended. And they miss God's plan. Okay, y'all still love me? So you'll walk in love, you'll stay out of offense. Rooted and grounded. So be rooted in revelation. Be rooted in revelation of love. You have to have working knowledge of love, okay? So Ephesians 4 said one more thing. I'm going to close with this. It said if you're rooted and grounded and getting working knowledge of love, it said that if you become intimately acquainted with it, that you would be what? Filled with fullness. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to read it. Because I'm actually beating the clock. Okay. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, working knowledge with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, because it's working knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So be filled to the fullness. So what's filled to the fullness? What's filled to the fullness? What is filled to? Yeah, it is 30, 60, 100 fold. It is waxed great, went forward, and grew until you became very great. When you have an E360, a 320, exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, you have more than enough. You're doing what God promised us, Jesse. You're doing what God promised us. We're actually having it. That's what God wants. He wants us to be in the overflow. He wants us to take the position. And the position will be if we do this in love, if we walk in love. Does it hurt? Sometimes. Sometimes it does hurt. But the Holy Spirit has the most wonderful healing salve. And the Word of God, listen, here's a clue. Anytime they're saying something about you, or the devil's trying to tell you something, this is what you say. That's not what the Word says. That's not what, you loser. That's not what the Word says. Nobody loves you. That's not what the Word says. Someone said, no, that's not what the Word says. That's not what the Word says. You're broke. That's not what the Word says. You're sick. That's not what the Word says. You don't have enough. That's not what the Word says. The Word says I'm anointed. The Word says I'm healed. The Word says I'm prosperous. The Word says I'm influential. The Word says I win. The Word says I have victory. The Word says I can love and I can stay out of fear and I can have success and that I'm a victor and not a victim. That's what the Word says. And the Word has final authority. The Word says that Jesus paid for me, so I don't have to go around feeling guilty even if I do mess up. Yes, and that we're loved. We're accepted in the beloved.
We are.
Amen. Wow. Father, we thank you for the anointing on this word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we are healed of all offenses. We thank you, Lord, that we do something with our souls. We thank you, Lord, that we talk to ourselves, that we say, listen here. You're going to love. You're going to do what's right. You're going to make yourself available, even to your own hurt, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to give us the grace to do that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for it. We choose to go down that path where we can be corrected, where we can have our spirit rise up higher than our soul. We can tell our soul what to do. We won't let our emotions control us. We will let the Word of God control us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive our offering tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I done preached myself happy. Good. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We win. No matter what the weapon is, we win. You're like, well, Pastor, I feel like I've been my own weapon. Well, join the club. We've all done stuff. Nobody in here need to be pointing a finger at nobody else. Nobody anywhere need to be pointing a finger at anybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I heard someone say recently, man, so-and-so should have been there. They really needed that. I thought, like, you needed it. Father, we thank you for the tither and the giver. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, Lord, for those that are giving online. We thank you for those that are mailing in. We thank you for those that are giving any way you choose, they choose. And Father, we thank you that they're blessed 30, 60, 100-fold return, that they're moving forward in their harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to give online, you can give via text message, VCHL on the amount you want to give, 73256, and click the link and complete your gift. Praise the Lord. Are we still online? Praise the Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Good night. Bobby waved back at me. You are so cute. All right. I now put my Danny hat on. Okay. September 2nd, this Saturday. Join us at 9 a.m. for the cleaning day. So, church, we really need to build some cleaning teams. So if you haven't been on one and you think you could do it at least for a time, we would appreciate it if you would join. And we also need children's help in the children's department. Now, September 10th is our anniversary. 9 a.m. we are going to meet together for a breakfast here. The breakfast will be back in the coffee shop in the kitchen. We're going to meet at 9 a.m. on the anniversary. Everybody, Everybody going to go in there and eat some breakfast. And then Pastor Brandon's going to bring us, we're going to have praise and worship. Pastor Brandon's going to bring us a word, and we're going to celebrate 21 years of victory. Woo! V-I-C-T-R-Y. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then, I'm doing good to hit Danny. I got you. Okay. September 16th, women's meeting. Join us at 10 a.m. RSVP to Patty for a special gift. Oh, by the way, we're going to have prizes on the anniversary.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. You could win a Corvette. It's going to be a toy one this big. Now, unless Brother Jerry wants to donate. Okay. Now, September 23rd is the men's meeting, 9 a.m. That's all I have on that. Men use less words than women. That's all I can say. Okay, September 24th, deadline to sign up for Guatemala. So if you're going to Guatemala, you got to have $100 and let us know by September the 24th. Okay, September 29th, Better Together is back, 7 p.m. That's the married couples. And so you're going to have a meeting on that. And I think our leadership already knows that we're having a meeting this weekend, Sunday, isn't that right? After service, we're having a leadership meeting. So that will be good. And stand up, Susanna and Claudia. And Rhonda's not here tonight. These two are going to Israel. And so they're going with Miss Billy. So they're believing God. So you put your faith with them on that. Amen. So they've sown their seed and they're going and they're going to be blessed. And I wish I was going with them, but can't be everywhere once, you know. So I'll go next time. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's stand up, everybody. And God is good. Did I do it all? Did I do okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. I got 2 minutes?
Yep.
Glory to God. Okay. When I was three. No. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Go look at the blue moon.